mind. He would never forgive her. They would never forgive her.
Making his way downstairs, he crossed the hall and entered the living room, where he slumped into the armchair. His face bathed in the heat from the fire, his eyes closed and his mind alive with all manner of unquiet thoughts. After a while he shifted his reluctant gaze to the photograph on the mantelpiece. The young, fair-haired woman was smiling, her brown eyes returning his gaze. Wanting to hate her but unable to stifle the love he felt, he wisely looked away. Disturbed now, he got out of the chair and collected the photograph into his strong, work-worn fingers. He smiled, a forlorn kind of smile.
"I'll always love you," he told her, his voice grated with emotion. "In spite of what you did."
A moment of regret, then he kissed her cold, uplifted face.
"Goodbye, Mary, my love. God keep you safe, wherever you may go."
He had no way of knowing where she had gone. In fact, he never expected to see her again. No matter. Maybe it was for the best. With his immediate concern for the morning and the fate of the two innocents upstairs, he replaced the photograph, and for the next hour busied himself in tidying the room. He put away the children's toys, little Nancy's rag doll with a round flat face and big blue eyes encircled with outrageously long eyelashes, and Jack's precious wooden train, a long, black, meticulously detailed replica with red wheels and a whistle that actually sounded like the real thing. Robert proudly recalled how he himself had carved it from a piece of wood he and Jack had found in Yardacre Spinney. After clearing the room, he made himself a nightcap, a mug of hot milk laced with a generous measure of brandy. Turning once more to pleasure in Mary's sweet smile, he raised his cup with a flourish, but he didn't speak. These past few days there had been too much of that, too many words with nothing meaningful. Frowning, he downed the drink in one long, breathless gulp. The liquid warmed his insides, helping him relax and settle his thoughts. More contented now, he sat for a time, his long legs stretched out in front of him and his arms lazily dangling over the sides of the chair. Mentally going over the events of the last few days, he became enraged with her, with himself. The heat and the brandy had started to affect his senses, he knew, and he sprang out of the chair, determined not to let events overwhelm him. Taking his empty cup to the scullery, he set it down on the draining board, and leaning on his hands, he stared into the sink with unseeing eyes. He hated her. No, he loved her. He wanted to kill her for what she had done, yet he wanted her back, if only to advise him as to what he should do. But she wasn't coming back, and there was no use wishing. Turning on the cold tap, he bent his head over the sink, closed his eyes, and swilled the shockingly cold water over his face and neck. Thankfully, it seemed to sober his thoughts. Returning to the living room, he glanced about. The dark sofa and two matching chairs were the worse for wear, and yet the dresser, long ago scarred by generations of users, had been polished to a mirror finish by Mary. On the opposite wall, the oval wooden-framed mirror above the fireplace was whisker-clean, and below it, straddling the mantel, the velvet cover was brushed smooth, its long silky tassels gently lifting in the rising heat from the fire. Green it was, and soft to the touch. He moved now to stroke his fingertips over its surface. But it didn't help to soothe him. He was foolish to think it ever would. His favourite item in the room was the solitary picture that hung against the back wall. Large and bold, it depicted a lively scene in the marketplace, Mary's regular weekend haunt. Many was the time during the past year she had lived with him that she would return from a Saturday visit to Bedford Town, her face flushed with excitement at some bargain or other she'd managed to secure. He saw it all in his mind, and his heart leapfrogged at the bittersweet memory. Emotion spilled over. In spite of all his resolve, it was more than he could bear. A burst of rage erupted inside him. Grabbing the small chair, he swung it into the dresser, slicing the smile from her face and shattering her image into a million pieces. Tiny slivers of glass and small china ornaments exploded in all directions. He stared at the dismembered face for a moment. Then, with an anguished cry, he brought his foot down on it and ground her to pulp beneath his boot. Exhausted, he surveyed the room through bloodshot eyes, oddly gratified to see that it was now a shambles. With a heavy heart and his features set like granite, he turned on his heel and made his way upstairs to his room, where he fell across his bed and drifted into a deep, fitful sleep. In the room opposite, the young boy lay awake. Time and again he heard his father call out in his sleep, and guilt surged through his soul. He knew what was happening, that she'd gone, and that he was to blame, and a feeling of terror gripped him. Things had got out of hand, and he no longer understood his own motives. Oh, if only their real mother had come back! If only she and his daddy could be together again, everything would be all right! The boy shivered and turned restlessly in his bed. He would not be able to sleep this night. How could he, when he had no idea what the morning might bring? One thing was for certain. Whatever happened, he knew he would have to be brave, if only for his baby sister's sake. Chapter 2 Nancy woke and leapt out of bed. Running to the window, her bare feet icy cold, she screamed with delight. "Jack! Jack, look at the snow!" Her voice shook with excitement as she pressed her face to the window. "Come and look!" A small, pretty child with the face of an angel and the heart of a lion, Nancy was coming up to 3 years of age.
3 years old, going on 93, her father laughingly claimed,
though these days he didn't laugh much, more was the pity. Jack smiled at her from the far side of the room, where he was pulling up his trouser braces.
"I know," he answered with a boyish pride. "I've already seen it."
His sister's small face was etched with disappointment.
"Oh!"
She'd so much wanted to be the first to see the snow.
"It started while you were still fast asleep."
Returning his attention to fastening the top button of his one and only good shirt, he glanced at his image in the bit of mirror hanging on a nail. Tall and slim of build, he was a quiet-natured soul, opposite in personality to the exuberant Nancy, and because of their unsettled situation, the 7-year-old boy had already adopted a protective role towards this darling little girl.
"I've been awake a long time, you see."
Momentarily distracted by the falling snow, Nancy seemed not to have heard. But then, with her wondrous eyes following the large, fluffy snowflakes, she asked curiously,
"How long?"
Sighing, Jack rolled his chestnut-brown eyes.
"Don't really know," he shrugged his shoulders. 3, maybe 4 hours.
He sighed again.
"All I know is I've been awake a long time."
He dragged out the word to emphasize the dreary, unending night he'd endured.
"Can we make a snowman, Jack, can we?"
His sister's sapphire blue eyes lit up. Before Jack could reply, another voice intervened.
"Sorry, Nancy, there's no time."
Robert was at the door, washed and shaved and ready to go.
"We'd best be off before the snow sets in. Come on, move yourselves."
Shocked by the harshness in his voice, the children looked at him. Not surprisingly, it was Nancy who spoke.
"Where are we going, Daddy?"
Unprepared for his daughter's direct question, Robert quickly searched for a suitable answer.
"We need to find a new house."
It was a downright lie, and he hated himself for it.
"Why can't we stay here?"
The little girl's lip trembled.
"Because we need to make a fresh start, that's why."
This time it was no lie. A fresh start was what they all needed, him, Mary, and the children, he thought. Through his torment, he convinced himself of that.
"Will it have an orchard and a spinney, and will it be the same as here?"
Nancy's blue eyes filled with tears.
"I hope so, sweetheart."
His voice had softened a little. Her brother was not so easily pacified.
"Will I have to go to a new school?"
he asked sternly.
"Probably."
Taken aback by the fire in his son's eyes, Robert wondered how much the boy knew. An old head on young shoulders, Jack was a quiet...